Hey, I have a question for you. Are you struggling to stand firm in your faith, push through tough times, or make a difficult decision? Well, you're in the right place. Because today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a powerful series called Uncommon Courage. And in this series, you'll discover how to stand boldly for the truth, persevere through challenges, and step out in faith. Please don't miss a single day of Daily Hope, because the courage you need starts with God. And now again, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Standing Courageously for the Truth.
Where do you need to stand for truth today? Let me mention three very controversial areas. Number one, where you're going to need courage today to speak up and stand up for the truth. Number one is the sanctity of life. And the sanctity of life is this: God has a purpose for every unborn baby. God has a purpose for every unborn child. Now, think about this. God planned your life before you were born. In fact, God planned your life before your parents was born. In fact, the Bible tells us, this is the Christian worldview, that before God created the universe, he thought of you. Now, there are accidental parents, but there are no accidental babies. There are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate babies. You may not have planned that child, or God, your parents may not have planned you, but God planned you, and God is bigger than human mistakes. In fact, God is bigger than human sin. In fact, God already knows every sin I'm going to ever do, and he goes, I'll fit that into the plan too. He doesn't cause sin, but God is so big, he could say, I can even take your mistakes and make it part of the plan. And so God takes even the mistakes we make, and he says, I've got a bigger plan than you have, so just trust me on this. Psalm 139 says this: You, Lord, made all the delicate inner parts in my body. In other words, God says, this isn't an accident. God designed the way you would look. And you knit me together in my mother's womb. God is taking responsibility for your conception and your development. He says, your workmanship is marvelous. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion in the dark of the womb. Did you know that God was watching every moment of your development when you were still inside your mother? That's how much God loves you. That's how much God cares about you. God says, I was watching every second of your development from the point of conception on. In fact, I had you in my mind before your parents conceived you. I conceived you. I thought you up. You wouldn't exist if God didn't want you alive. And he says, I watched every moment in your mother's womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Friends, it's not a fetus, it's a person. It's you. And God says, that is a person with a purpose. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that we, responsible people, are to speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. And the group that cannot speak up for themselves more than anybody else are the unborn. God says, you are to speak up for the sanctity of life. And as a Christian, if I claim to be a Christian, then I must believe that every single life is sacred. It doesn't matter if they have mental retardation. It doesn't matter if they're severely deformed. Every life is precious. God gave them their life. He'll know when he wants to take them home. God is God, and I'm not. That's not a popular opinion, but it's the truth. And if you're going to courageously stand for the truth, you have to believe in the sanctity of life. Or don't call yourself a Christian, because that's what Jesus taught. That's what every life is valuable from the moment that God planned you, which was before you even popped out of your mom. Now, the next one's even more controversial, and it is the sanctity of sex. is part of the Christian worldview. And the sanctity of sex is this. Sex, it's real simple, is only for marriage. I don't like that one. I don't like that. Well, I may not like it. It's not my opinion. It's in the owner's manual. Now, let's just remember who thought up sex. It was God's idea. What a God. I mean, what a God. God could have made sex. God could have made reproduction with no pleasure attached to it. God created those nerve endings. It was God's idea. And he created it to bond a husband and wife together. When a man and woman have sex together, it releases oxytocin in both of them. That oxytocin is the bonding chemical that binds a husband and wife together. It brings emotional commitment. When a woman nurses a baby, it releases oxytocin in both the mom and in the baby. It is a bonding agent. That's why there's no such thing as casual sex. Because when you have casual sex, it releases oxytocin in you, which is a bonding element. Whether you like it or not, there's a bonding thing. That's why people get hurt, why people get broken hearts, why when people are cheated on, it bothers them. Why? Because it's not just physical. That's nonsense. It's not just physical. It's emotional and it's spiritual. You see, sex isn't bad. Sex isn't dirty. Sex isn't wrong. Sex is holy. And the sanctity of sex is that God designed it for the creation of all of us and to bring husbands and wives together and to be a model of the union between Christ and the church. And I don't have time to go into all the spiritual implications of sex, but let me tell you, they're about that long. It's not just physical. Now, the Bible says this in Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all. Whether you ever get married or not, you need to speak well of marriage. Marriage should be honored by all. Even single people should honor it. And the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Now, this isn't popular, but let me just be clear about it. God's instructions have never changed. Premarital sex, it's unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Living together without getting married and the commitment of marriage and the blessing of God is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Adultery is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Pornography and the objectification of a woman's body is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. I want you to listen to this. Attraction is not a sin. Action is a sin. You can't control all your attractions, but you can control all your actions. I noticed that when I married Kay 37 years ago, I still found other women attractive. Big shock. But I've never acted on them. And Kay Warren is the only woman I've ever known. Attraction is not a sin. Action is a sin. Have I been attracted to other women? Of course. I'm a man. I mean, a real man. I mean, a manly man, okay? A hunk of burning love man, okay? I mean, just... Have I been attracted to other women besides my wife? Of course I have. But I don't act on it. Have I ever gotten mad and had an impulse to slug someone in the face? Yes, but I don't act on it. Not everything that I feel like doing, I do. You know, I noticed when we started this Daniel plan that when I started trying to get healthy, I was still attracted to the bad stuff that wasn't good for me. Well, I was expecting all those attractions to go. They didn't. Let me tell you, you know whatever attractions you've got about anything, you're going to have them the rest of your life. Now, if you're guilty of any of these sins, Saddleback's your church, because we're all forgiven sinners. Okay? We are all forgiven sinners. All right? So, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. You can find forgiveness here. There is the sanctity of life. There's the sanctity of sex. And there, a third one, this one's most controversy of all right now. It is the sanctity of marriage. And the Bible is very clear about marriage. One man and one woman for life. That is God's intended original design. He even made the body parts to fit together, and they have a purpose in fitting together. One man and one woman for life. That's God's intended design. You say, but Rick, what about all the polygamy in the Bible? I mean, there were guys in the Bible that had multiple wives. Listen very closely to me. I talked about this in 40 Days in the Word, Bible interpretation. Not everything the Bible reports, the Bible approves. Not everything reported in the Bible is affirmed in the Bible by God. If you take this book and you say, Holy Bible, it's amazing it's called holy. It's harder to find a book that's got more violence, more incest, rape, molestation, murder, jealousy, greed, violence. Why do we call it the Holy Bible? Because this one tells the truth. If this were a human book, it wouldn't tell all the warts and flaws of the heroes. It'd just give biographies about all their good things they did, their great exploits. But the Bible, when it talks about Abraham and Moses and David, it tells us all their weaknesses. Go, you know what? They blew it just as much as we do. They make as many mistakes. Their families were as messed up as ours are. And they had as many problems and addictions as everybody else. It tells the truth. The Bible gives examples. There's examples of Scripture where people had slaves. And yet the Bible is clearly against slavery all the way back in the very first books of the Bible. And Jesus repeats them and says, I came to abolish, to eliminate slavery, to release the oppressed. And so just because you read something in the Bible of violence or some sexual deviation or something else, doesn't mean the Bible approves it. It's just reporting the brokenness of humanity. Now here's what God says about marriage. Matthew 19. Jesus said, from the beginning, in other words, from the very beginning of creation, the Creator made male and female. This is the reason a man is to leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And they are no longer two, but one. And therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. You know, there are many issues in life where people of goodwill can disagree. There's no health care plan in the Bible, so people of Christians can disagree on that. There's no defense plan in the Bible, so Christians can disagree on that. There's no economic recovery plan in the Bible, so Christians can disagree on this. But on the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of sex, these are non-negotiable. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to line up with what God says is the original intent of all three of these things. And you not only need that, you need to have the courage to stand for it. These are clear and they're non-negotiable. You say, who says? God says. Not me, God says. Now, let's close and let me give you sum up how to live with courage. How do I live with uncommon courage? There are two things you need to do to live with uncommon courage, all right? Number one, I need to accept God's word as my authority. I need to accept God's word as my authority. Why? Because it's the only source that will never lie to you. It will always tell you the truth. Even when I don't like it, it tells me the truth. The truth will set you free. It makes you miserable, but it eventually makes you set you free. I mean, somebody said, Rick, you're stuck up. I don't want to hear that, but if I need to be humble, I need to hear somebody say, you're stuck up first. Okay, so first the truth makes you miserable, then it sets you free. Okay. Some of you are miserable right now. Just admit it, okay? All right. Here's the point. If you're going to have courage in life, you're going to be a person of courage, a woman of courage, you're going to be a man of courage, you need to build your life on a rock that never changes. If you build your life on the opinions of others, on popular opinion, you're going to frequently have the ground pulled out from underneath you. That gives you no stability and no courage. But if you build your life on God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Then you're going to build your life on the Word of God. God said it, I believe it, whether I understand it or not. Hebrews 6, verse 18. God has given us both His promise and His oath. Now God says, I'm keeping my oath. And these two things are unchangeable. See, truth never changes. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. God will never lie to you. That's why you need to hear what He says about marriage and sex and these other things. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can take new courage. Circle the word courage. For we can hold on to His promise with confidence. Where do I get courage? By building my life on truth that doesn't change. Again, you will build your life either on the world or the Word. You're going to build your life on what the world says, what's popular, what's politically correct, or you're going to build your life on the Word. Now, a lot of things, when you say stuff, it's unpopular. You say, Rick, why do you say stuff that's unpopular? Because I fear God's disapproval more than yours. I only got to live with you for 60, 80 years. But I'm going to be in eternity for heaven, and I don't want to be ashamed and embarrassed that I wimped out and I denied Christ. I have been in the hot seat more than any of you, I'm sure, on a public level. Because as I'm on these interview things like Larry King and the Today Show and Good Morning America and Oprah Winfrey, and they'll ask me questions about these controversial issues, I want to be like you. I want people to like me. And every bone in my body wants to compromise and not say the truth. But I fear God's disapproval more than I do public disapproval. So I'm going to tell the truth. Second thing, you're going to like this one. How do I develop more courage? Spend personal time with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, the less you're going to be intimidated by the opinions of others. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the less other people's disagreements are going to matter to you. Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, these were uncommonly courageous men. This is the city council who said, we're going to kill you, we're going to threaten you, we're going to put you in jail if you keep talking about Jesus. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they could see that they were unschooled, ordinary men, none of the disciples had advanced degrees. They didn't have PhDs. They didn't have college degrees. They didn't have high school. They didn't have grade school degrees. These were just common fishermen. They said, how can these people who are uneducated, but they have such enormous courage? It says they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Circle that, been with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more courage you're going to have. And when you spend time with Jesus, you pray and you talk to Him. And in Acts 4:31, after they had prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke God's word without fear. I love it. The Amplified says they spoke God's word with freedom and boldness and courage. Now, what I've talked to you about this weekend isn't easy. Standing courageously in an unpopular opinion is not easy to do. But the rewards of it are enormous. The rewards of standing courageously for the truth will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and not millions, but trillions of years. The last verse on your outline says this, do not lose your courage because it brings a great reward. That reward is far greater than any disapproval you might have to put up with. Let's bow our heads. Father, I look out on our church family and I see people that I love and I want them to be uncommonly courageous. I want them to be people of the Word. not people of the world, who've built their lives on truth, not on popular opinion. Now you pray. God, I want to be a person of courage. I want to be a man of courage. I want to be a woman of courage. I don't want to back down, wimp out. I don't want to deny you. I don't want other people to control what I say or think. And I want to build my life on a biblical God's worldview. Truth. So I make these two commitments today. First, Jesus Christ, I accept your word as my authority. If you say it, I believe it. That settles it, whether I understand it or not. And you will be my number one authority, your word. And second, Lord, I want to spend time with you every day. I want to get to know you, Jesus, on a personal basis. I want to be able to walk into a store or into a business and be so full of joy and so full of confidence that people go, that guy's been with Jesus. I want people to notice it in my countenance, in my face, in my life. Not that I'm super educated. Not that I'm super wealthy. Not that I'm super beautiful. I want them to notice that I've been with Jesus. That I have been with you. I ask you to help me to be fearless for the truth. In your name I pray. Amen.
You know, your prayers and financial support are having a huge impact on millions of people here and around the world. So thank you. Thank you so much. And now Rick's going to share a letter from one of our listeners who says Daily Hope is making a real difference in their life.
Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Rick. Because of the generous support of many of you Daily Hope listeners, we're able to offer Daily Hope devotionals for free worldwide. In fact, today I have a note from Paul in Kenya that shows how God is at work through the Daily Hope devotionals. Paul wrote me, he said, I'd like to sincerely thank you for the free gift of your Daily Hope devotionals. May God receive all the glory. For some time now, your inspiring and encouraging messages along with scripture references have helped me push through some really tough times and get closer to God. However, Paul writes, the best part is that my faith in God has now grown to the point that he recently gave me the strength and wisdom to accept his free undeserved gift of grace and salvation by accepting and confessing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I feel like a new being, and I yearn to keep growing more and more in God's word and in wisdom, surrendering my life to his will alone. So please hold my hand in this journey to the glory and honor of God through Christ Jesus. Paul, without a doubt, I will hold your hand as you journey with Jesus. There is no greater decision that you could have made than believing and receiving Jesus Christ. So congratulations, you're my brother in Christ, and I want to encourage you to be on the lookout every day to see how God guides you, how God directs you. It's an exciting journey. And by the way, keep studying his word every day. Get a Bible and read it every day. I'm so thankful that Daily Hope Devotional is helping you to do just that. Now, the Daily Hope Devotional is helping so many people like Paul all around the world grow closer to God. If you're not getting it, I really want to encourage you to go to PastorRick.com and sign up today.
Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.